The Public News Service Daily Newscast for October 24th, 2025. I'm Joe Allery. The Senate failed Thursday to advance a bill that would have paid some federal workers during the ongoing government shutdown. ABC News reports Senator Ron Johnson's Shutdown Fairness Act fell short, 55 to 45 votes, needing 60 to move forward. Three Democrats joined Republicans in support. The bill would have paid troops and certain essential federal employees, but most Democrats opposed it, saying it gave too much power to the administration to decide who gets paid. With senators heading home for the weekend, the shutdown, now the second longest, will continue into next week. Oregon is in the process of applying for funds from the Rural Health Transformation Program, a federal program established by the Trump administration's H.R. 1 bill to improve health care in rural communities. Claire Pierce Roble is with the Oregon Health Authority. At a recent public forum, she said whether or not Oregon receives the funding, it is still within the context of historic cuts to Medicaid from the budget bill.
The federal funding through this program is not intended to offset the H.R. 1 Medicaid cuts, and in fact is a fairly small amount compared to the cuts that we were anticipating just in the state of Oregon alone.
The program will provide qualifying states with at least $100 million per year for 5 years. An FBI-led raid in southwest Idaho last weekend continues to raise questions about tactics used, which included detaining and zip-tying families. Eric Tegedoff has more.
About 200 local, state, and federal law enforcement agents were involved in an operation in Wilder to break up illegal horse race gambling. Four people were arrested by the FBI at the event, and another on Monday. But it was the harsh tactics law enforcement used that drew criticism, including the deployment of helicopters, drones, and rubber bullets. Rebecca De Leon with the ACLU of Idaho says her organization received live updates as the raid unfolded. She says about 400 people had gathered for a horse racing event that was billed as family friendly.
They detained absolutely everybody, and that included children. We saw quite young children, maybe 10 years old or a little younger, who were zip tied. We have evidence of bruises on their wrists from being zip tied, and we think that there is absolutely zero justification for that.
The agency says reports suggesting young children were zip-tied or hit with rubber bullets are false. Immigration Customs Enforcement was also at the raid and detained more than 100 people, including parents of children at the event. The Department of Homeland Security claimed in a statement that ICE was part of operations dismantling criminal networks in the United States.
This is Public News Service. New national data reinforce what labor analysts have been warning for years. The U.S. economy faces a severe skills shortage. States are responding to ensure students have solid credentials, and as Mike Moen reports, North Dakota is part of the conversation.
Environment Minnesota teamed up with volunteers to collect samples from 41 lakes, rivers, and streams. All but one were analyzed, with detections confirmed across the board. Scientists are learning more about how these fragments, from larger plastic items that break down over time, enter the environment and what the health risks are. Environment Minnesota's Caitlin Rolfes says their results make it clear that freshwater sources aren't immune.
And now we know that they have been found in 40 lakes across the state.
The project tested four types of microplastics, including fibers from clothing and textiles, and film used in plastic bags and flexible packaging.
A new report finds discretionary parole boards in New York and nationwide are inherently flawed.
Prison Policy Initiative report says parole releases are declining in every state due to what it sees as flaws in the system. Wanda Bertram with the Prison Policy Initiative says this type of system dashes people's hopes for early release.
It doesn't matter how much work they might do on themselves, how much they might transform their lives while they're incarcerated. Many people behind bars who have done that, for instance, who committed violent crimes, spent decades behind bars and have become completely different people.
The report says 2022 was the worst year for people in New York prisons seeking parole, in part since there were fewer parole board hearings and they approved fewer applications. These numbers declined during the early years of the pandemic. Although they're slowly rebounding, the numbers of meetings and paroles granted are still well below pre-pandemic levels. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Experts often stress how important it is for adoptive families to connect with one another, creating communities based on a shared experience and understanding. But that remains important for adoptees even as they enter adulthood. More from Simone Perez.
Bethany Frazier is a business owner and adoptee who a few years ago in adulthood found community with other adoptees through the Barker Foundation. After reuniting with her biological father and discovering her ethnicity, which had been kept from her by her adoptive parents, Frazier felt confused and upset. She ended up calling the Barker Foundation to get connected with people who validate her feelings and share her experiences.
It doesn't matter the age, gender, or the ethnicity. Every single adopted person that I meet, I feel like we're almost kind of connected through this life experience, sort of starting in the same place. At some point, we were relinquished or something happened where we became somebody else's child.
Frazier says she wanted a community that understood her experience but had limited connections to fellow adoptees, and that it's important for adult adoptees to take the leap and join an adoptee community.
This is Joe Ullery for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.